Welcome to Dodgers Daily. Casey Porter here. So glad that you decided to tune in. Joined by Coach Holt. And Coach, we had a big, long live show. It was a great show. The Dodgers Daily crowd showed up in force. And man, we had a great conversation about Dodgers baseball. I can only think of one person on earth I would want to have another conversation about Dodgers baseball with, even more than the crowd on Wednesday night. And that would be you, who we're seeing on the screen right now. So, Coach, good morning. And, hey, the Dodgers are struggling a little bit. So we went over the goods and the bads on the show Wednesday night. Going to let you dive into where you're at with Dodgers baseball.
I probably hadn't changed much since the last time I discussed it with you, Case. You're never going to have it perfect. Of course, as coaches and as fans, we certainly do the same thing, strive for that perfection. The bottom of the order, around the 200 and below mark, the last three hitters in the order. And the relief pitching, that's the biggest concerns I have now. We always had some about, infield defense, but that's kind of taking a back seat to me. If you can't pitch, in the bullpen, it's not going to matter. I mean, they're going to hit good enough to overcome some deficiencies on the defensive side of it, but it'd be hard to hit if you can't come out of the bullpen and be effective. It's going to be hard to out-hit that, because a nine-inning game, things change pretty quickly. And if the guy on the other side is giving you problems, you got issues. So it goes back to keep it pretty simple for me. I'm that kind of guy, just, bottom of the lineup, hope the batting, hitting averages come around, and we need mainly to get healthy in the bullpen and hope some of the kids that are getting their chances now grow up quickly, much like they did last year, the starters that came up.
Yep. You talk about getting healthy. I got a chance to go to Oklahoma City. I got good video on Walker Buehler. I got just about every pitch that he threw from behind home plate, and there weren't very many people there last night. It was cold in Oklahoma City, cold and windy, and kind of felt a little bit rainy-ish, but it wasn't rainy-ish. But, hey, got a chance to watch his entire process from warming up to his heavy ball work to his bullpen to his running to his long toss to then also his bullpen and then his performance. So you mentioned getting healthy. He would be one that you need to get healthy with. Hey, another big conversation we had, Gavin Lux. You and I are both huge fans of him. You and I both got to see him when he was dominating at Tulsa. I know Scott Hennessy, the AA manager, very, very well. Call him Skinny Henny now that he's lost the weight he defeated cancer, right? Scott Hennessy would absolutely swear on the Bible by Gavin Lux. But the term that we use, Coach, is reset. Sometimes, in high school level, it'd be JV or whatever. But in this situation, it would be AAA baseball, where Walker Buehler's at right now, where J.P. Fireisen is at right now, where Drew Pomeranz is at right now, where Jesse Hahn is at right now, all these guys, right? So the term reset, do you believe in reset, sending guys down to reset maybe mentally, physically, work on something? Do you believe in that?
Yes, I do. I mean, that's a great thing you have. In case you've probably been in the same situation we have in high school, there's times you're like, I just need a guy. He's not getting enough at bats. It's happened to us this year, as a matter of fact, at Stillwater. He's not getting enough at bats with us. He's good enough to be with us, but he needs some at bats. So we're not playing. There's some days we're not playing, or maybe they're pitching for us, but we still need to get them some at bats. We'll send them down with the junior varsity, and then send them down to the junior varsity to start getting 10, 15, 20 at bats. It's the same process. It's great to have that luxury.
What about with Lux?
I don't know, if Lux is in a position to do that right now. I mean, that's what I was getting ready to say. There's a give and take on that, too. You're not going to jump up and send Mookie in those games. Unless it's an injury rehab. Everybody gets the injury rehab stuff. But, the resets, Lux, it may get to that point with him. He's not a true veteran. He hadn't been there a long time, but he's been there long enough to earn some respect as far as how you're going to do it. But by the same token, it's a business of, success or non-success. So, if he continues to struggle and they need to do something there, they may reset him there. But I think it's a great tool for the managers in the front office to have at time. It worked great for Gavin Stone. I think it, proof's in the pudding. I think it helped him a lot, and he's showing some signs this year. He was up last year, had some, and went back down to Oklahoma City. I saw him pitch there. I think you did too, probably a couple times. And I think he took it the right way. You know, if the guys approach it the right way and get down there, hey, I'm going to go back. Just a matter of when am I going to go back? Because I'm going to work my tail off here. I'm going to go back. I love the food and the flights they have up there, and, you know, the major league pay. So I think it's a great thing, you know, to have. And but like I said, there could be a time that could be a negative for a player. You know, it's up to each individual player how they deal with it. You know, it's a demotion, but it's not a demotion of we're done with you. It's a demotion of we need you to get better at this right here. And I think it's a great tool for them to have.
Yeah, it's a compliment in the way that it's, you know, it's kind of like the old adage that when your coach is still yelling at you and getting on you and chewing on you a little bit, and it just means they still have expectations for you, right? That's a good sign, even though it's not fun at the time. When the coach stops talking to you, when he stops dealing with you, when he stops worrying about your issues, that's when you really have problems. So the reset thing, hey, this is the organization still trying to fix you because they still feel like that you have a role with the major league club. So I think that would be interesting if Gavin Lux did that. I don't think there's any doubt that he would handle that properly. Now, having said that, okay, I say all that to say we're huge Gavin Lux fans. The best scenario for the Dodgers, you know this as well as I do. Coach, you used to say this all the time when it was 7,000 degrees in Altus or wherever we were at and we weren't playing very good, right?
Yeah.
Okay, hey, it just takes one, man. You're going to hit one on the button. You're going to go, ooh, that's it right there. That's the one that felt right. And then away you go, right? And then all of a sudden, that was your reset. So that's the best case scenario.
Yeah, you guys get in slumps, you know what I mean? And each player's different, Case. We know that. Even on the major league level, I'm sure Dave Roberts has to handle everybody is a different personality. You think you can go in and handle a team and handle all 25, 20, however many guys they got the same way, you're mistaken. And these guys are way smarter than that. So,
and that's a strength of Dave Roberts.
Yes. Each kid, you know, as we all used to say, you need a kick in the tail or a hug sometimes. You know, each kid is different in the way you approach them. You'll get the same results, but you have to approach them a little bit differently. But, you know, I think, you know, I'd be more worried if I'm on the Dodgers, you know, enjoying the life of a major league player, but I'm on the end of the bench and I never get in. That's a sign that we're kind of done with you. We're going to make
Taylor Trammell. Yes. You knew that he was done, right?
Yeah. If you're sitting on the bench down there and you're never getting in, that'd be a pretty much sign. Like, I think they're pretty much done with me. You know, they're just waiting for a time to send me back down. But, you know, if there's a quick, like, hey, we need you to get on a plane tomorrow morning, get to Oklahoma City, you'll get some at bats, get some work with our coaches there, you know, some extra work, and we'll get you back up here. You know, you can believe that. They're going to do that because everybody's out to win. You know, these front office guys, these managers, the minor league coaches all the way, you know, for the Dodgers organization, all organizations, they're all in it to win. That's the name of the game. So, you know, like you said, they quit yelling at you or put you on the bench and never talk to you. You might see the handwriting on the wall, but if they've got a plan for you, like you said, Case, I've got a plan for you. You know, we've done it here on the high school level. Coach Lee's done it with several kids. They've played infield their whole life. Hey, by the way, Ethan Holliday's our starting shortstop. He's a junior. You know, you probably need to find another position.
Yeah,
so
he's
we turn
good.
Some guys into outfielders, and we turn some, you know, first base, third base, you know, outfield. And it's turned out well. We got some kids that are helping us right now that have bought into that. So it's even on the high school level, that there's some stuff there you have to change some kids. But let them know you have a plan. That's the greatest thing that Coach Lees has done. He's been a Division I coach. The kids know he has a plan, and he sticks true to form. You perform on the JV level. We got two kids up starting for us now that were JV players that were killing it down there. They're up there playing. He was true to his word. Everybody can see now Marty Lee says that's the way he's going to do it. Now, I think that's the way, even on the major league level, if you do exactly what you say you're going to do, you're going to get a lot of respect from everybody. You know, maybe the people in the dugout. That's the ones you want it from.
No doubt. No doubt. And then, hey, you're always auditioning for all 30 other teams. As well, okay, Chris Taylor, going to mention him before we get to the Walker Buehler outing. Again, we have a lot of live video of Walker Buehler, going to have a lot of analysis on him coming up. Also going to have a down on the farm session where we're going to talk about some guys we haven't talked about to this year, this point. Okay, Chris Taylor, coach, he does not have any minor league options, so he's not a guy you can just send down to AAA Oklahoma City and just say, hey, let's go reset him because he doesn't have options. You would have to designate him for assignment first, of which he would probably clear waivers because of his contract. And then at that point, it would be interesting to see if Chris Taylor actually accepted a minor league contract or not. But that would be, now we say, hey, Gavin Lux does have minor league options. So to send him down, reset him, that's one thing. But to designate a guy for assignment and reassign him to a minor league assignment after all of that process, when it's a guy like Chris Taylor who came up in Oklahoma City in 2016, hit the walk-off against St. Louis, he's been such a part of the Dodgers front office trust tree because he's earned that, right? That would be a different scenario. That would be a slap in the face.
Yes.
So the Chris Taylor deal's a lot stickier to me. So how do you handle it?
That's absolutely correct. What we just talked about there. That's a totally different situation. You know, not just the portion of it where he don't have any options to go down there. It's just the options of a guy who's has earned his stripes, come up through the organization, done things the right way. Like I said, you had the walk off against St. Louis. I remember, you know, was that he had a 13 pitch at bat there too?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, 13 pitch at bat. I'll never forget that. I remember just watching that. You know that. He's a professional, but like I said, they're in the success business here, then the winning business here. At some point, it happens to everybody. That would be a real sticky situation for him. I don't know if he'd accept that minor league, or you know, I don't know the man personally.
Would you, no. If you're him?
Well,
it'd be tough, wouldn't it?
It'd be tough.
It'd be really tough.
I think at some point you're like, you know, don't know if I want to restart this thing and start all over again. But you know, it's each his own, and a lot of guys, you know, I don't know the. Obviously, you can tell from an outside looking in as a fan, he's got great makeup. He wouldn't be where he's at if he wasn't a strong, you know, has a strong mental makeup, or he can work through, you know, he's in the bench. He comes in, he plays every position. He's got a lot of, think about coming off the bench. There's expectations there. You keep coming off the bench, you're going 0 for 40, you know, you're kind of going to lose that job too. So there's a lot of expectation just coming off the bench. It's a big thing. Pinch hitters, you know, coming in a defensive replacement. There's a lot of pressure that goes with that. You know, we forget about that. It's like, the guy comes in the seventh inning, plays. Yes, he does for a reason. If he goes out and makes errors, or he comes up, goes 0 for 25, we don't need him anymore. You know, he's not filling out his role in the team. So that would be very sticky for him. We all love his makeup, and we think of him being a Dodger. But again, without knowing the guy personally, I would think that'd be tough for him. But good Lord, he wouldn't be where he's at if he wasn't tough.
Yeah, and the thing about coming in as a sub, you're getting brought in right into a close game every time. It's like you're not going to sub when it's 14-1, right? So every time Chris Taylor gets put in, it's a big situation. So every time he doesn't come through, it seems like it gets magnified, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's like a relief pitcher, a guy coming in with bases loaded, no out. Here you go, big boy. You know,
yeah.
Here's the ball. You know, and you were there to the state championship game we had years ago, and oh, Vinny throws about 180 pitches. You know, I should have gone to jail for child abuse that day. But then you hand Rob Lorenzo, here's the ball. There's two guys on. We're up by one run, the bottom of the ninth against the Union Redskins. Have at it, big boy. You know,
yeah.
So there's that. There's always – anytime you come in, especially relief pitcher, same way. They usually come in hot water. You know, unless they start out in the inning, unless they're long relievers. But usually that closer, he's coming in hot water unless they're just trying to get him some work. And he hadn't worked in a while. But same way, pinch hitters and defensive replacements, those are huge jobs, and those are very important jobs, with a lot of pressure on them.
It's interesting the way that, you know, you get a 40-man roster, which is the guys that are eligible to come up to the major leagues and go up and down. Then you have a 26-man roster. That is if a major leaguer still has minor league options. You have three different parts of three different seasons. They don't have to be in a row. But once you get on a 26-man roster, you have parts of three different seasons that you can be what's called optioned down to minor leagues. And so, obviously, you have to have options to be able to be sent down. But I think it's very creative. It's new age. It's very kind of high-tech-ish way the Dodgers have expanded their 40-man roster by whenever they have a situation like we saw last year when Will Smith got hurt. They went and bought a player. They went and bought a catcher, Austin Wins. Then they DFA'd him, and then he either accepts the assignment or somebody else picks him up. Taylor Trammell is the same way this year. Jason Hayward goes down. They go get a player named Taylor Trammell. They DFA him, and he's probably going to clear waivers. Now they added another guy to their organization, and or they lose a guy that they never had to begin with.
Yeah.
It's a really creative way to expand your 40-man roster, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's a lot of moving parts on there. You know, those guys, I know they get paid a lot of money, the player personnel people, but they earn every dime because their job's on the line every day too, you know, making moves. And at some point, you know, the general manager, the club owner, team president, are going, you know, I think we need to make a change here. It's the same way as a manager. Everybody's under the gun and in the front office. And, you know, I don't envy the work they put in, but they have to do it. And up to this point, I think the Dodgers, you know, there's always hit and misses. It's like draft choices. You know, everybody, hey, you know, Tom Brady's a seventh rounder. Well, there's a lot of people that missed on him. You know, the same way that Patrick Mahomes. Everybody, oh, yeah, we won. Sure. No, you didn't. Andy Reid wanted Patrick Mahomes, and that's why he traded up to get him. So, don't act like now you're all in on him because you want the same way that Tom Brady's running a 12 flat 40, you know, little sidebars and a little skinny body. You know, nobody warned him.
Mike Piazza.
Yes, Mike Piazza. Here are seven Super Bowls later, how many he has. Tom Brady, the greatest of all time. Yeah, we tried. No, you didn't. Yeah. Everybody passed on. It's like Brock Purdy. You all passed on. He's with the 49ers. He's Mr. Irrelevant. You know, so there's a lot of move parts. There's always hits and misses on that stuff. And it's the nature of the game. You know, I mean, in baseball, even more so. There's so much it's a game of failures. We always talk about, Case, and that's even true in the front office.
I was looking at the 2019 top 30 Dodgers prospects list, and there were some hits. I mean, Gavin Lux was in that, but there were also way more misses. So it's a lot harder than people think. Hey, Coach, what we're going to do next is we're going to get into, and I'm going to start playing it right here. Okay. The Walker Buehler outing from last night. You should be able to see that on your screen. So hey, when you look at it on the surface, Coach. Going to say this straight up. On the surface, it did not look all that great, right? I mean, you talk about a guy that went 2 2/3 innings. He walked four guys. He did have three strikeouts and give up four hits and two runs. First of all, it was a automated balls and strike system. And I know two or three different times he threw a pitch and he was like, well, where in the heck was that at? And he's like, oh, there's no umpire to argue with, right? It's a machine. And he would look back on the screen and he would see the ball, if he could see the ball coming in, to see what where the pitch was at. So I'd be curious to get his thoughts on the ABS system is what they call it. He didn't seem to be very happy with it. And two, it was cold last night. Three, he's coming off. I know I sound like I'm making a lot of excuses, because I guess I am, but actually I'm just trying to explain where I'm at and watching him last night. And actually I came away very encouraged, and I'm trying to make the case as to why. It was cold and he's coming off the last performance to where he got hit in the fingers, right? And he didn't show any effects of that in pregame that I saw. I try not to like watch him that heavily. Sure. I take all the video, that's enough, that you're seeing here in the bullpens and all the heavy ball work. But Coach, you're seeing on your screen right here that cutter to lefties, that one, that pitch right there that you just saw, and then the slider too.
Yes,
were they really, see that one right there? It had a lot of bite, man, but he didn't have a feel for it. I mean, his fastball was good on the top of the zone. He was missing a little bit on the arm side. See that pitch right there? That had a lot of bite, but the command and the control wasn't there. I think there's external factors. I think it was cold. I think the ABS frustrated him a little bit. And I think maybe the finger had a little bit to do with it. But hey, it's all about the process in a rehab scenario. There's a good throw by Hunter Fiducia. His velocity was back up over 95 miles an hour. So the velocity was good. The bite on the slider was good. Matter of fact, his last two or three sliders were really, really, really good. His last couple of cutters were really good. So I think I don't think he's ready right at this moment, but I think there were a lot of good signs for Walker Buehler last night.
I'll even add to it on the excuse machine, and he's not going to make them, and we don't do it either, but we had a game last night, too. The wind was brutal. I mean, it's blowing.
Yeah, it was a tough day to play baseball.
Yeah, it was a tough day to hit and to pitch, and he was their field is shaped, you know, is facing the same way ours in Stewart. Of course, they got the big hotel out of left field, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Cut down. They didn't have the wind blowing in hard like we did down at Couch Park, because we got the hotel knocking some of that. So, but the winds were brutal. He got hit in the hand not too long ago. The fact he's, I think that, as you mentioned, Case, the big point is his velocity is getting up. His velocity is getting up where it needs to be.
There was firm.
Yes. I noticed he had a little arm side run, too, on the fastball a little bit, a couple of times. It kind of ran away from the lefties.
See that cutter there? That was a nice cutter to a lefty, wasn't it?
Yeah. I'm like you. They wouldn't call it a rehab start if he's a finished product. You know, he wouldn't be there. If he's a finished product, he's in L.A. So you're absolutely correct. We take it for what it's worth. Did he progress from his last one, especially after being hit on the hand? You know, I think there's no doubt about it. I would think the Dodgers would be pleased with what they saw. Sure, he's not, you know, four walks and 2 2/3. That's not Walker Buehler. But like you said, it's a work in progress case, but it's certainly not going backwards, I wouldn't think.
You can see by his mannerisms, he threw that high fastball to the lefty. Matter of fact, let me back this up just a little bit. He throws a really firm, nice, high fastball to the left-handed hitter. I don't think this is the right guy. Right there, that one right there.
Yep.
And you watch his mannerisms because it was a good pitch. I mean, it's a 95.3-mile-an-hour pitch. He threw it to the top of the zone where he wanted to, and the guy just hit it. See his mannerisms? Yes. He's not very happy about that. One thing I love about Walker Buehler, man,
yep.
He does not pull any punches when it comes to how he feels about this or feels about that. So, yeah, man, that pretty cool to get to watch live and up close and personal. See that slider? That's a good slider. It just broke a little bit too much on him.
Yeah, he just command's not there. As you mentioned, Case, and that's any pitcher will tell you that. You know, it's like a hitter has been coming off injury. He's not hitting. You know, hadn't hit for a while. The timing's not going to be there. You know, the feel for it. So, I think you ought to be encouraged by – there's way more positives than there were negatives. Obviously, he's got to clean some things up before he gets back to L.A., but we've got coming off major injuries here. I mean, and you're seeing his body looks great. He's always had that lower body, the very strong in the lower body. I'm sure he's strong in the upper body too, but you can really see he's got the lower base, a lot of power, a lot of strength from there. It generates a lot of power from his lower body. So I think all things are pointing upward. I feel good about it because he's not that far away from being ready to go back to L.A., and they may do it sooner than later.
Yeah, they might, especially if things – you know, there's a good slider right
there.
Yes. But you mentioned his arm side run. We saw it. I backed it. I tried to back it up as much as I could to a lefty. There is the high fastball again.
Well, it takes but that, I don't blame you.
That's the one that turns right. That sinker looked good, man. I mean, he was throwing a sinker and a four-seam fastball, and I was trying to get back to that exact sequence because he threw the one that had the right turn.
Yep.
It went in for a ball. Then he threw the four-seam right after that. That straightened up. There's that good slider again.
Nice
that
pitch.
Just was, that just too much of a break there. There's the really good slider.
Yeah.
See that? I mean, he nailed some really, really, really good sliders at professional hitters. There's the four-seam where he straightened it out. Here it is. I think you're going to see it right here.
Maybe.
Where you see the two-seam turn. Nope, there's a slider in on the hand. See, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, he threw a handful of really nice pitches. Like, there's the two-seam.
There it is, yeah.
See that? Now watch him straighten this one out. See that? I'm impressed with those sequences. Those are professional sequences that show you that, hey, yeah, the sink, and then there's a good slider that he didn't like the ABS on.
How do I mean?
Yeah, right. See? I mean, that's a good sequence right there.
No, he's very solid. Like you said, I didn't see any video on Rancho Cucamonga where he threw that. You probably did. I don't know. Did he show some improvement from that case? Did you see?
Well, I don't think he really – here it is right here. I don't think he got to throw. There he got hit.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's
scary.
Yeah,
see it right there. He isn't bad. And the thing is, man, he's tougher than hell, right?
Yeah.
And he tried to get through. He did get through the inning, then had to come in. Had to come out,
man,
after the inning. Yeah, but that hurts like a sucker.
I think all of us Dodger fans, and definitely the front office, was holding their breath when that happened. You know, you're glad you don't see a finger point south there, you know, pointing the wrong direction. So that was a scary deal, you know.
Yep.
At least you can tell he's going to be okay there the way he's moving it. But when it first happened, oh, man.
No doubt. No doubt.
So hey, considering that and the way he threw last night, that's a good sign.
I think so. And again, that's why in minor leagues, I say it all the time, coach, you got to focus on the process, not always the results, because there's an explanation for everything. For instance, perfect case scenario, threw the two seam, right? It didn't get into the strike zone. So then he had to throw the four seam to straighten it out because the ABS wasn't liking that two seam, right?
Yeah.
And so then the slider was really good, but then it wasn't landing in the zone because he's throwing to an ABS system.
Yeah.
He threw some – I mean, so there's a whole lot of processes, sequences that go on that are way deeper than results. So, hey, believe what you want. The video's out there on my Twitter, basically every pitch he threw last night. Form your own opinion, but that's where I'm at. So final thoughts on where the Dodgers are at, Walker Buehler, any of it, Coach?
Well, I think there's a lot of, like I said, Case, way more positives than negatives watching Walker last night. Yeah, like as we told the people who aren't from Oklahoma are not used to this, what kind of weather we get here. Of course, the back northwest are going, yeah, we feel real bad for you. It's like that every day here. But it was a tough day to pitch and to hit last night in baseball. And like I said, cold night, coming off a hand being hit, hand injury. And he's throwing to professional hitters, you know. It's not a bunch of chumps out there. So now I think way more positives. He looks like he's getting closer and closer to being back in L.A. And that is nothing but, you know, great for the Dodgers and the big ball club. And as soon as we get more guys healthy in the bullpen and some of our youngsters just get better with time, which you hope they will, as they did last year. And I still have, like I said, we're still at a small sample size on those guys. For the big scheme of things, that 200 can go to 240 pretty quick with a good mm-hmm. week. So I'm not ready to throw it in yet on the, on our lower part of the order, but it does need to pick up quite a bit because, the top of the order is amazing. So, but you just want some balance there. You're not going to have a bunch of 300 hitters down there, but 250s and above would be much nicer. And I think Lux is should be more of a 270, 280 guy if not higher. And Teoscar's, I think his career is around 260 something. Teoscar, something like that. So he's a 260-ish hitter.
He's going to swing and miss a lot, but then he should hit around 260.
Yeah, he's been a run producer too. And Alvin's just I'm like you. I just still think he's going to explode at some time. It may not be this year. He's a freak athlete. He's a big, strong guy with freakish athletic ability. I think he's. If we don't see it this year, may see it again next year. Because he had 20-something homers last year as a rookie. So, he's not, chopped liver. So, I think I still – being positive as a guy, I'm not the Monday morning crybaby like I was when I saw you Monday morning. So, Friday afternoon, I feel a lot better. Let's go. Weekend's coming. Yeah. The Dodgers, it's a fresh, brand-new day, brand-new series. So, I feel, things are looking up. It's hard to say that because we're in first place. But, since we stay close to this one club, you kind of get an idea what's going on as a fan. I don't mm-hmm. claim to know anything else other than being a fan who mm-hmm. likes to get on here with you and talk about it and get into some of this stuff. But I think they're on the uptick, and I'll be shocked if those bottom three guys don't pick it up a little bit. They're going to get chances, they're going to get chances to hit. They're going to throw luck strikes because Mookie Betts is standing on deck circle.
You say it all the time. Funny thing, too. Hey, maybe you should have won some games you've lost lately. Now you have the red-hot Mets coming in, and it's like, oh, my gosh, right? But it's like, hey, things never go like they're supposed to in baseball, right? You're going to beat the teams. It's you just can't predict what's going to happen. So super excited about the Mets coming into town.
That's the way it is. In case you're a player and you're a coach and – I laugh. Ethan Hawley, the only time I ever see, he don't show a lot of emotion. The only time I've seen him this year show emotion, he hits a ball. Probably we don't have a device to measure, miles per hour off the bat, but it had to be over 100. But he hit it right at the center fielder. That's the maddest I've ever seen. I just sit there going, I don't even know what to say to him. I know what I usually say, but I just leave him alone. But you'll hit one off the fist and it'll fall in for a parachute double. So it all averages out in baseball. So we all know that. It's nothing he hadn't heard. He's got a, Hall of Fame dad telling that stuff. He don't need to hear it from me. So, but that's the nature of the game. It's just what happens.
All right, Coach, man, it's great to see your face this morning. It's great to always talk Dodgers baseball. Love you. We will see you next time. And so to everybody out there, hey, we're getting ready to take a trip down the farm. Don't go away yet. We're going to talk about all the prospects, and we have some new ones, some guys that we haven't talked about this year yet. So stay tuned for that. But, hey, Coach, thanks for joining.
Love you, Case, and go Dodgers.
Okay, let's take a trip down on the farm. So as we always do, we're going to start at the lowest affiliated level, and that is with the single-A Rancho Cucamonga Quakes 3-2-1 launch. Mr. Joe Vetrano is on the board. First home run of 2024 for him. His dad was NYPD, New York City Police Department. He was on the same team at Boston College with Emmett Sheehan. This is a guy, Joe Vetrano, with massive power. He has massive exit velos. He's trying to do more of this. which is get the ball in the air. He hits a lot of really lower line drives. His launch angles are lower than a guy that has exit velos like him would probably like. So he's going to spend a lot of his time in the minor leagues because he hits the ball so hard. He's going to spend a lot of time in the minor leagues trying to get the ball in the air, because if you hit the ball as hard as he does, and then also you hit fly balls, guess what you're going to hit a lot of? Yes, that is right. This right here. Home runs. So great job, Joe Vetrano. Home run number one of 2024. It will not be his last. So who you're seeing right here is Reynaldo Yin. And man, when his stuff is in the zone like that pitch right there, it is absolutely overpowering. Those fastballs you're seeing are 100, sometimes 100 plus. And then there you see the really nice slider of Reynaldo Yin. Hey, all the stuff is there. It's just like all these young power arm guys. It's all about being in the strike zone. The California League, man, Tim Rogers will tell you this. You watch these guys play, and it's 100-mile-an-hour arm after 100-mile-an-hour arm, and then it's like 7 or 8 walks. So for Reynaldo Yin, just like everybody else that has a – look at that slider. That is devastating. To go with 100-plus-mile-an-hour velo, this is a guy that has closer written all over him. If he can use the minor league process – to refine his command, and then most of the time just control getting the ball in the zone. But hey, nobody has more electric stuff than Reynaldo Yin. Remember that name, Reynaldo Yin. Keep checking in. We'll see throughout the summer how that, you know, working on that refinement of the command and control, we'll see how that goes. Keep checking in, because he's definitely one that you want to keep an eye on. So this is Noah Roon right here, young man out of Austin, Texas, who actually grew up a Texas A&M fan. I asked him whenever I had a chance to talk to him, well, how'd that work out for you? He's like, it was okay, I guess. And by the way, he has a growing golf game. He loves golf, and self-admittedly, not as good as he'd like to be at it. But I'll bet being a pitcher only in a professional organization, I'll bet he gets good at golf because he's going to have time to play. It went to Tyler Junior College there in Tyler, Texas, in East Texas, and that is a very high level of baseball. Actually grew up an interesting story of him as a shortstop. So he's a plus-plus athlete, very good athlete, and he played Little League for Jeff Kent and actually had to play some second base because Jeff Kent's boy was on that team, and you can only imagine how good Jeff Kent's boy was. So played second base, eventually played shortstop in high school, and then moved to be a side armer, and now here's the advantage to what he can do that you can see here. I'm going to get this next pitch and show you what makes him very unique, what I want you to really remember about Noah Roon right there. Okay, not yet. Right there. Okay, see how he turned that ball over? That's exactly what I wanted to talk about. He gives you a very uncomfortable sidearm look to the pitch, which as a right-hander makes you want to take that butt in the bucket, right? Because it feels like the ball's coming out of his hand like 3 feet behind you. And hey, man, say what you want, but that baseball is a missile. And the first thing that goes through your head, whether consciously or subconsciously, is it thrown at me? That's literally the first thought of every hitter that never goes away. So when you can side slot, that's going to make it uncomfortable. But because he can still stay on top of the ball and pronate, he can still throw a changeup and sink the ball. So he has the best of all worlds. And then also, because he's a side slot, he can get on the side of the ball and throw a frisbee-type slider like that right there. That's not one of the best ones he's ever thrown. That one backed up a little bit on him. But just to show that one, he can throw that little slider slash cutter pitch too. So best of all worlds for Noah Roon. Plus, he's unique. Ryan Sublette's the only other side armor really the Dodgers have in their organization. And so that's unique in itself, that he could be a side armor, side slaughter, whatever you want to call him. And then also sink the ball. So Noah Roon. This is Zaire Hope. Of course, we know that Michael Busch is doing very well with the Chicago Cubs. Zaire Hope, Jackson Ferris came over in that deal. I've had a couple of communications with people that go to Rancho Cucamonga games. And of all the talent that team has, the one guy that stuck out to them the most was this guy, Zaire Hope, and just his strength. He is so strong. They said, hey, man, this guy's advanced. I mean, he's super impressive to the guys that are seeing them with their own eyes right now. So, hey, didn't do anything. He got a hit last night, did hit a home run. But I wanted to show you Zaire Hope and just kind of bring up the point that people that are going to the Rancho Cucamonga games are making comments about how impressed they are with him and how impressive of a young player he is. So wanted to highlight Zaire Hope. Moving up a level now to High A Great Lakes. This is Kyle Nevin right here. Got to see him plenty at Baylor. He is another guy very similar to Jake Gelhoff. Hey, yes, he can turn on a ball and pull a ball like he did right there. He goes on heaters. He got very, very, very hot at the beginning of last year, then got hurt, man. I mean, that was very disappointing. Yes, he is the son of Phil Nevin. He is so good, Kyle Nevin is, at staying inside the baseball and hitting the ball to right field, using the big part of the field, and then combining that with what he did right there with power. So Kyle Nevin has been hitting the baseball very well, like he does at the beginning of every year. He is the son of Phil Nevin. Bloodlines are a big deal to scouts and people in organizations. So there's a lot of reasons why you should open your eyes and pay attention to Kyle Nevin. So the guy I wanted to highlight the most at the high A level, this is Chris Campos, okay? Campos is a guy that's been on the dev list, the developmental list, and usually we talked about that with Maddox Bruns in the live show. When that happens, you're probably adding a pitch. Now, I have not talked to Chris about this. I think I'm going to message him, and I think he probably will message back with an answer. But you're going to see this little cutterish type pitch. He hasn't had that, I don't think, in the past. Don't exactly quote me on that. I could be wrong on that, but I don't think I am. See that cutter right there? That's the one I don't think he's had. I think they've actually been, see, he's had that slider in the past. I think they've been adding that cutter. They've been doing that with a lot of pitchers. As a matter of fact, I talked to Nabil Kreismat last night, going to release that interview here in the next couple of days. I asked him, hey, what are some of the adjustments the Dodgers have made with you when you came over? He said they added a cutter. So I think he was on the dev list to add that cutter. Now, the first thing you're probably going to notice about him, he's not very big. He's 5'10", 175 pounds. Don't say that to him or do. His high school coach actually did say, hey, you're not big enough to make the high school team there at Mater Dei High School in California. So he transferred out, ended up being a Division I player and the starting shortstop. Shortstop, I did say shortstop, not pitcher, at St. Mary's, and was on the same teams as Hobbsy when Hobbsy was the closer, Michael Hobbs there at St. Mary's. So being a Division I shortstop at a very good program in St. Mary's, you know he's a plus athlete, so he's bringing plus athletic ability to the mound. He's used to being in the middle of the action, being a shortstop. He is a plus competitor. You can see the movement. Look at that arm side tail that he gets right there. Look at that. You saw the little cutter pitch that turned left for him. And boy, look at that pitch hop back over the plate. And he's good velo. I mean, he's going to hit 93 somewhere in there. So Chris Campos is a guy that I wanted to highlight, give you a little bit of story about him just bursting onto the scene. And again, he didn't pitch a whole lot till he got to the Dodgers, kind of like River Ryan, a shortstop, an athletic guy that has a good arm, super competitive. Same type story. River Ryan, Chris Campos, these guys that play a different position. The Dodgers love to convert them. Sauron Lau is another guy that has moved up very fast at AA. So remember the name Chris Campos. So beyond Campos, there wasn't a whole lot to talk about at the high A level. Jackson Ferris got the start. He struggled. Hey, it happens. It's cold in Michigan. Not worried about it at all. Not worried about it to the point where I'm not even going to cover it. What I am going to cover, though, as we move up to the AA level, which is two steps away from LA. It was cold in Wichita last night. That's just a couple hours north of me. It was cold in Oklahoma. And if it's cold in Oklahoma, it's even colder in Kansas. So, hey, cold night. But it was great to see Diego Cartaya do this. Turn on that inside pitch, 106 miles an hour. I believe it was like 438 feet. That is a pitch that at time to time last year, that inside pitch could beat him. I know he had the year last year that was a little bit down. He's off to a slow start. I know that's alarming for Dodgers fans. Not going to try to talk you out of that, but I am going to tell you there are signs with Diego Cartaya that every once in a while you go, hey, there it is. Let's just repeat that. Now the question is going to be, can Diego Cartaya continue to repeat that kind of swing over and over and over to have a bounce back? I'll tell you this, I'm really rooting for him. Elite human being, elite work ethic, elite process. You got to be rooting for this young man, Diego Cartaya. So we're going to spend our most amount of time as we jump to the next level, which is AAA Oklahoma City, just one level below LA. This is JP Fireisen. Now, he did give up a home run in his one inning. Hey, it happens in the Pacific Coast League. It is a very hitter-friendly league. Although last night wasn't necessarily a hitter-friendly environment. It was cold. It was in the upper 40s, and it was windy by the time. And he came in the ninth inning. So he did give up the home run, but he did throw some nice sliders. His fastball, hey, I've heard some people say fastball velo is down. Well, it's like 91, 92, 93. If you go back to 2021, 2022, that's the exact same velo numbers he threw then, back then, when he was having a lot of success at the major league level. Plus, his spin crawled up over 2,400. So, you know, it has good carry. So, the velo, yes, 92, 93. But if it has good spin rate, it's going to look faster than that to hitters, which is why he can get by barrels. Of course, we saw his outing with LA the other day. Now he's back with AAA Oklahoma City. You saw him turn the ball over to get a little bit of right turn. You've seen his slider. You've seen the good carry right there, the good carry on his fastball. So I was super excited to get to see JP Fireisen pitch for AAA Oklahoma City last night. Another guy that I was really excited to get to see in person, I've had a chance to see him quite a bit, John Rooney, 6'7" lefty out of originally Scatico County, New York, and then Hofstra, just like Austin Gauthier and Dylan Ashotka, the hitting coach for the AA Tulsa Driller. So Hofstra has been a factor. There's that pickoff move. He picked off a guy last night. He has 23 pickoffs. I believe it's 23. Don't quote that exact number, but I'm within one or two of that. 23 pickoff moves in his career. And he got another one last night. But, hey, went east and west last year. I've documented that several different times. ERA was like 2.38. It's similar this year. I don't know the exact ERA. Look at that nice slider. But, again, it's down there. He's doing a good job. He went two innings scoreless last night. Frustrating that the Dodgers keep signing lefties and they keep jumping him in that pecking order as far as LA goes with the lefty reliever type guys. That has to be frustrating for him. I would never ask him that question because I would never want him to have to answer that question. But I'm sure it's frustrating for him. I mean, he's human. But all you can do is keep going out there doing your job and keep showing either the Dodgers or any other organization he's not. Drew Avens is going to be a free agent after this year. I believe John Rooney's a free agent after next year. Keep showing every organization just how good you are and keep grinding. So good job, Jay Runes. Well, if there's anybody or any organization that has covered Cody Hosey, at least in a fair manner, it has been Dodgers Daily. I am very proud, and I am not going to apologize in any way, shape, or form for how proud I am of our coverage of Cody Hosey. We have not written him off like other organizations or publications have. We have followed his grind. We have given the reasons why he has struggled in the past and also been fair with the fact that there's been large periods of his minor league career where he just didn't hit the ball very good. I've said many different times, he is the best defensive infielder in the organization, period, end of discussion, as far as defensive-wise goes. And now he's hitting like 368. Got to see a live home run for him last night. Hopefully he can continue with this success, have continued success, have a long period of sustained health, and can show Dodgers fans why he was the number one draft pick in 2019. So again, super proud of the coverage we have provided on him. I think it's been very fair. And now because, you know, he showed it at the end of last year, he's had a long string of being healthy. It's amazing how when you're healthy, it's easier to hit these 100-mile-an-hour fastballs, right? See him turning on that ball? That's a really good thing to see from Cody Hosey. He's getting the barrel through balls, and he's not getting beat by pitches on the inner half. Hey, got to touch first base, Cody. Yeah, so great job. Super excited about him. We will see if he can sustain this success and threaten the major leagues. Well, you talk about a guy that is just solid as a rock. Hunter Fiducia got to cover his process from bullpen to band work to his sprint work and running and getting loose. And then check out his sweet left-handed swing right there. That a boy, Hunter. Just a really sweet swing. Him and Trey Sweeney kind of set up the same as far as the way they have that flat path to the ball, the way their barrels stay in the zone. Here's a look from behind. Now, this is actually, I got that text in the wrong spot of my video. getting a good look at his swing from behind here. I think he actually grounded out on this one. Yeah, but made good contact. And then also you're going to get to see from right behind home plate. Watch this. This runner's out right there. Nice throw, Cody. Then this runner's out too, but yet there was going to be interference. So you can see there. Threw a couple of runners out, actually threw one runner out. Second runner was interfered with. He is going to throw that second runner out at third base if there was not interference. Got a hit, got to catch Walker Buehler. All is good in the world of Hunter Fiducia. Now all he needs is opportunity at the major league level. Wanted to show you this. This is old Wardo, one of my favorites out of Millbury, Massachusetts. Graduated with less than 100 kids. The Woolies in Millbury. Hey, he's a guy I talk about all the time. Struck out like one time his senior year in high school. Hit it over 400 at Bryant and then hit 380 the next year. The only guy that hit over 400 there ever as a Bryant Bulldog. And what I wanted to show you here was the wheels. How about that? Turn on the William Tell Overture. That a boy, Wardo. He beat the shift here. One of the best combinations potentially of power and average when he's healthy, Ryan Ward. Again, so I wanted to show you this and how he beat the shift. Usually he's pulling balls into right center or nailing that left center field gap. Not this time. Beat the shift. And now watch this young man turn on the wheels. Go Wardo. Turn on the William Tell Overture. Round second base. Headed in third. Down the stretch we come. And he's safe. That a boy, Wardo. I've covered Andre Lipsius quite a bit. We had a question on him in the last live. Hey, what's one of the adjustments he's made? And hey, just simplicity. Watch how simple. I don't know if it's an adjustment, but I know it's something he's doing right now. Watch how simple his swing is from about 25 feet away from where he was standing. Just put the front foot up. Put it down, head doesn't move, simple path to the baseball, not a whole lot that can go wrong there. You're getting ready to see a open face view of Andre Lipsius here in a minute. I want to kind of show you the whole process that he goes through. So let's actually look at this swing here. See how simple that is? I mean, he just picks the foot up, puts it down. Now, the simplicity of that, a lot of guys like to slot that head on the back of their body because they like to keep that weight in the back. Most guys in modern day baseball have their weight about 60-40 on the back right now. He's a little bit more old school. He keeps his weight centered, if not towards the front, which means his head stays in the middle, not slotted in the back, and his barrel is pointed straight down instead of usually back at the catcher. This is very, very, I don't want to call it old school. I love this style of hitting because look how direct this is to the ball. Watch this. I mean, what can go wrong there? That's as simple and as direct as a swing can get. And when you're trying to hit 100 miles an hour, you're trying to hit guys with 4 and 5 pitches with 40 inches of induced break. Simplicity is a key to me a lot of times. So I wanted to show you just how simple but effective Andre Lipsius' swing is. I was excited to get to see it. So this is Trey Sweeney, and I'm a little bit pissed at myself because I think you know if you follow Dodgers Daily, I love his swing. I had never got a chance to see him in person. I got two swings all night. One was a swing and miss. One was a ground out. He had 4 at bats, and that was all I was able to get out of him. So I'm a little bit pissed about that, but I promise as the summer goes on, unless he doesn't get pulled up to LA and stick there, I will get better video of this. But I did get that video, so I wanted to show you that of the swing from an open face look of Trey Sweeney. More to come on him.